Any other submitters here? Come on up. Beaumont Station, is it?
No, Ryan Mosby.
Ryan Mosby. My fellow commissioner's put me on. So, good afternoon and welcome. Thanks for putting in your original submission. We've read that, so you don't need to read through the original submission to us, but I see you've tabled something here for us. So if you're happy just to lead us through that, that would be good.
Yep. Ryan Mosby, we are dairy farming just on the outskirts of Matera. We're, as it states here, we're a family farming business. I'm involved with mum and dad and wife and child on the farm. We're a long-standing family farm. I'm fifth generation to be on the place, so we've been there for over 140 years. After attending Lincoln and 5 years of banking, I returned home to what was then a sheep and beef property. But looking at succession and economically trying to come up with something that was going to enable us to continue, we decided to convert to dairy. We'd probably like to point out that great care went into the planning of the conversion to ensure that not only a sustainable farming system was developed, but also in regard to the farm design and infrastructure that we chose to install. We've got just under 10k of waterways on the farm, and given our property ranges and contour from perfectly flat to rolling to some quite steep stuff with a range of 200 metres of elevation, that it was important to recognise that when going about the physical conversion. We're aware of our environmental risks on farm, and we'd like to think we apply good management practices within our day-to-day management. And I'm also tied up, part of the founding group with the Water Catchment Group. Rather than go through all my submission points, in essence of time, it was really to focus on a couple of the key ones that are in direct effect on our farm that probably are away from the specific farming rules that you guys have probably had, like you said, in common stuff over the last few months. The big one is around the drinking water protection zone listed in Appendix J that is located at home. Mm-hmm. So it's a backup town supply for Matera that the Gore District Council run. Mm-hmm. And it's a surface water tape from a creek that runs through the property. There is no formal agreement around it. It was something that was set up with, we don't even know if it was my grandfather or great-grandfather, based upon a handshake. And probably the big point with it, it's very rarely used. The last time it was turned on was in 2012. I've got the log at home for when it's been used in the last 10 years. Right. So I guess the two main issues raised in the plan relate to Rule 35A around effluent and Rule 40 with silage storage. As part of the consent application process when we converted to dairy, we recognised the fact that we had this water take on the farm, and upon consultation and support with the Gore District Council, we applied a 100 metre buffer zone to it. Based on those two rules and the new stuff in the plan, because that site is listed in Appendix J, that now extends to 250 metres right. For the buffer zone.
Yeah.
That results in me potentially losing 2 to 3 effluent paddocks, which have had significant capital expenditure as it was all installed new at the point of conversion. We've got a low rate pulse system with fail safes in it that is well managed and I believe can be safely operated within that additional buffer zone that is now going to be applied. Yeah. My actual effluent pond, I haven't measured the distance as of yet, but it could potentially be within that 250 metres as well, which could pose to be a bit of an issue come reconsenting time. With the silage storage, again, it's a 250 metre buffer zone there. In my case, it's a surface water tape, so, and probably also relating to the effluent one. What I do downstream in regards to the drinking water protection, it's going to have no impact on that water quality at the point of intake. So I guess within those two things, my main concerns or questions are the type of extraction and the frequency of it being used.
Yeah.
We feel needs some consideration, and again, reference to the fact that it is surface taken, it's low usage. Mm. I probably question or challenge if it should be listed in Appendix J. It doesn't actually meet the definition of community water supply, which based on your plan is a permanent reticulated supply of potable water for use by 25 or more people for at least 60 days per annum. As I said, it hasn't even been turned on since 2012. I currently hold a legal consent that allows me a 100 metre buffer zone on that, which was supported by Environment South, and Environment South and ticked it off, and Core District Council supported it.
Yeah.
Is this now void? Where do we stand going forward with that? I guess given there's no formal arrangement, I guess I'd just point out that we are actually in the process of seeking some legal advice around the fact of whether it can be removed upon our request, because based on this plan, there's now restrictions being placed on our farming operations.
Just in terms of that issue, if we were to say amend the rule so it would say 250 metres or some different distance agreed in writing with the relevant territorial authority, because it seems you have an agreement in place with the Gore District for a 100 metre zone. If we had made some kind of amendment along those lines, would that meet your concern?
I guess an amendment somewhere. I guess, again, just that challenge on whether it should actually be in Appendix J, because we've recognised that we do have the site there and it's in our consent documentation.
Mm.
And every time we go through that, the Gore District Council are an effective party and they're registered as that. So any changes are always going to be made clear to them. So I guess it becomes whether it's even in Appendix J or whether this is just an issue at any consent dealing we deal with Gore District Council as the direct affected party.
Okay.
The next one, in the submission point around the effluent pond drop test, I made reference to the fact that the original point was around the requirement there, getting the pond to 75% of its depth. Look, that's, to me, is against our best practice. We're always trying to have that thing as low as possible, and if we let it get to that, you know, our window of opportunity to perform that test is short. It actually does put us at risk of having to, you know, put effluent on when conditions aren't right. And probably the thing, it's not in my submission, but it's an afterthought, is given the design of my pond, I actually question whether it should be subject to a pond test. We, at the point of conversion when we built the pond, based on advice and trying to be somewhat forward thinking with it, we knew come reconsenting time, the thing we were going to have to prove to you guys is the pond's not leaking.
Yeah.
So we've installed a subsurface drainage system underneath that is right underneath the base of the pond and leads to an inspection chamber. Mm-hmm. I know in 42A other people have brought this up, and 42A is still stating that these ponds aren't exempt from a pond drop test, so I guess we've spent extra money based on advice putting that stuff in.
Mm.
To me it now seems like it's, other than obviously the other key point is we know if the pond's leaking by looking at that, but the main point there being ponds with some sort of drainage system underneath them that leads to an inspection chamber. I think there needs to be some allowance for them to be exempt from that pond drop test. The third sort of bit would probably be in reference to Appendix N. As submitted, I completely support the use of Appendix N. Far rather go down that sort of road than consent-based farmer. I think probably a main point with it is around the audit procedure. I probably think, to put the pressure back on AES, that there needs to be a plan for an audit procedure around it, and it needs to be stated so that we know we are all going to be audited rather than it just sitting there being upon request. You know, it's your document, and you've got the responsibility to police it. And I guess, you know, look, stating it, is it once every 2 years, or, you know, someone from the Land Sus team coming out, it takes a wee bit of the ownership off us, in the sense that if you guys are looking at that document and helping us correct any bits that are wrong in it, it's I suppose, working together a bit more rather than it just sitting there. And I mean, we don't know when it may not ever get checked if it's on request. And the other point with that is that it will ensure that they get completed, which will help. I mean, I see it as a big educational thing for farmers. And if you were stating a time frame around coming to have a look at them, it will mean they get done. And I guess, you know, without being negative, every game's got the bottom 5% in it, and farming's no different than that. We're well aware of that. This type of water procedure like that will ensure that ES captures those people and can help them work on rectifying those things within their business. And you know, that typically they're going to be the guys that won't do it if it's only upon request. And then probably to follow on from that, you know, initially we'd probably expect some leniency around that audit, because it's new to everyone, and we'll give it our best crack. But I guess to have some sort of, whether you call it a policy, around a review period or something like that, if there's any issues highlighted during that audit process, that we give a 3 or 6 month grace period, and then you come back and make sure that we have tidied those bits up. And yeah, look, as stated, I mean, I think it can add real value, but it's absolutely paramount that they're able to be farmer driven. If we can complete them ourselves, we're going to have much more ownership of them, and we're going to learn more out of it and actually implement that stuff. Whereas if it's a document a consultant does, how much people read through those and take it on board, it can be a dust collector. The only other point around Appendix N would be Section 4, the nutrient budget. I probably feel that an annual review of the nutrient budget input data is somewhat excessive and should be removed. If we're completing an annual review of the Appendix N, and that's to define if there's been any significant changes to land use or farming system, then this should suffice without having to review our overseer data. And around that review, it states that it's to be documented. That's pretty open-ended. There's no clarification around what documentation entails. I mean, is it simply a signature and a date on the front page? So I guess in terms of, yeah, maybe what that annual review might, you know, what you guys are going to need to see if you come to us, to tick that one off. The only other one really would be around the winter grazing on sloping land, and it really makes direct reference to what's in my submission.
Yeah.
But the new update from 42A, I don't support a 20 metre buffer. I think that's excessive on anything above 9 degrees. I make reference back to the wee economic calculation I put in the submission. That equates to, in our case, you know, for every 100 metres of creek that I've got to apply that to, it's going to cost me between $2,000 and $2,500 in a winter crop pit. And, you know, as I said in the thing, making reference to the Telfer trials, strategic grazing management, their results showed massive reductions based on a physical farm trial. Just through the way they graze that paddock, not by increasing a buffer zone. So then that leads to that question, is there underlying science to support that rule with the 20 metre buffer? Yeah, and that's probably the main bits I wanted to highlight. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for that. Just I note that in terms of the drop test issue, we've had a number of submitters have raised that concern with us. A number of them have said, look, you know, if we have a leak detection system for our pond that's compliant with IPN's practice note 21, that should be sufficient. So we've certainly received that message and taking that on board. And others have said, well, hey, look, you know, maybe the drop test only needs to apply to an in-ground clay-lined pond rather than other more modern forms of pond that have leak detection systems, etc. So there's some issues there that we'll be giving some pretty serious consideration to. So just to let you know that it hasn't fallen on deaf ears.
I didn't think I'd be the first one to hear you on it.
And in terms of the auditing process for the farm environment management plans, we've been advised, the staff have clarified to us that this plan does not impose an auditing process. So whether or not an auditing process is imposed by Environment Southland, that'll be developed through the freshwater management unit process, which is to follow this plan. So council, will be, I imagine they'll be considering on a FMU by FMU or catchment by catchment basis, whether or not auditing processes are necessary, and if so, how they might work. But it's not something that this plan does.
Yep.
Yeah, just to let you know that. That's been very clearly set out. Thank you for that. I'll see if we have any questions for you tomorrow.
No, no, Mr. Chairman. Thanks for coming in. It was very clear.
Just in terms of the community water scheme there, is what was it turned on for in 2012? To check the pumps, or was it actually used?
No, they did use it. I think the main water source is a dam located out on another farm, and I think they were cleaning sediment out of the dam at the time, and it was just to avoid having any dirty water going through the system, as far as I understand.
And prior to 2012, any record of it?
I think there's been three occasions in the last 10 years that it's been turned off. If I mean, to double check, I do have the log at home. And I apologise for not sending in any evidence. We were in the process of seeking some of this legal advice around it, and we're still awaiting data from the council. And I applied for an extension, which lapsed, and they said, just can it, you guys will ask for more information at the time if you need it.
Yeah. If you can look at that log and just fire an email to one of our assistants over here, that would be fine.
Yeah. Thank you.
No worries. Yeah. A good submission, no questions, thank you.
No, I'm the same. Maybe. Thank you.
And I have no further questions, but that's a good thing. It just means your points have been very clearly made.